Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 34. We are going to continue on our Final Fantasy IX walkthrough here. Last episode, we left off just kind of doing a bunch of the really kind of end game side quest stuff. We're not even to Disc 4 yet, but we did finish off most of it. So obviously, we are very far into this walkthrough. If you're just now joining us, we're glad you're here, but you might want to start back at episode 6. That is kind of where we began Final Fantasy IX, essentially. So, at this point, man, we kind of have to go to the castle, right? I mean, there's not much really anything else to do. Whatever method you want to take, if you upgrade Choco all you know, completely, you can just fly right over there. If not, take the airship. And you just want to go to Ibsen's castle. It'll be on your map. Pretty easy to find. And this place is, man, it's very interesting. Now, obviously, we are coming here because we know Kuja needed to come here involving some sort of seal for Terra, right?
Yeah, so pretty much that's exactly it. We kind of know his master plan now, thanks to Lady Hilda.
Yep.
Telling us pretty much everything that he told her, which she didn't even ask for, but
nope.
You know, he just divulged all of this information to her, and yeah, we found out that basically he is trying to break the seal to Terra, essentially, and yeah, that's why we're at Ibsen's castle.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a strange place.
It is, and you know, we'll kind of get into a lot of the stuff as we usually do. But once you do get there, you know, it's all the party members are all going, they're kind of have a little conversation, and it shows the castle, and Zidane makes the comment of like, it looks like it's upside down, you know, and it does. It's actually mirrored, right? So it's kind of like, you know, the top is a castle, and then it goes halfway down the middle. It basically is just mirrored to a castle there too. So it's really strange.
It is really weird. And actually, so I looked this up, I think on like Final Fantasy Ultimania or something like that. One of those good sources, which got a little bit more information about this place in terms of why it kind of looks like this merging of two different castles. And apparently, and this is kind of going into some story stuff that we haven't touched on too much yet, but we will get into
real soon.
Pretty much, part of this is you've got Gaia and you've got Terra, and so far all of the story has taken place on Gaia, but they're like these two different planets, and that's what the seal is kind of for. It's from between Gaia and Terra, and apparently Ibsen's castle appeared on Gaia about 5,000 years ago due to a failed attempt by Garland to merge Terra and Gaia. Which, again, that's very confusing right now, but we'll learn more about that.
Yeah, it's just, it is quite an interesting place. But, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's literally like a castle, you know, and it's got this massive just stairway up into it. And right off from the conversation there at the beginning, you know, here comes Amarant, and he's like, Zidane, I'll do it alone, you know. I'll prove to you that working better is working, you know, is faster and more efficient than as a team. And, dude, it's just like, what's his beef all of a sudden, man? Like, what the heck happened with him? Like, dude, okay, we just went through all this stuff. You know, we got through his issues after essentially Freya talked, you know, kind of just, you know, was his therapist for a little bit in Trino. It's been quite a while since then, and he hasn't had any issue. And now all of a sudden, it's just like, I don't know, he woke up cranky and he just wants to start something.
Yeah, he's throwing a little hissy fit. I agree with you. I think it's really funny how it's like, you know, he's bringing that up now. What have you been doing with us this whole time, basically? it's super strange. It's out of the blue. It's just random. I mean, we know a little bit about Amarant. Like, we know his past, his history. Right. And we also kind of know why he's with us. So I guess this isn't completely random. But at the same time, it is kind of like that question of, like, Well, you've been on our team this whole time. You've been working with us.
Yeah.
We have a common goal, so
Took you to Ulver. You didn't throw a hissy fit there, saying you work alone.
I
You know, I mean, yeah.
yeah.
No, but regardless, so he wants to challenge the Dane. Basically, a challenge is, I will basically get to the mirrors before you will. And I mean, you can let him go or not. It doesn't matter. It's gonna happen regardless.
Yeah,
It
he'll
just,
just do it.
yeah. So if you wanted to use Amaranth, well, you're not going to be able to. So, unfortunately for me, I'm like, dagger, you're in, girl. All right, show us what you
Oh
got. You
man.
can concentrate now, and so.
And you had that really good weapon for Amaranth
Dude,
too, so he was
he's been
busting out.
carrying me, man. I've been
Yeah.
riding on Amaranth's back this whole time. Kaiser
Yeah.
Knuckles, but it's all good, So you will, of course, be able to select your party then. For me, I mean, like I said, I just switched Dagger in. So I was still running Zidane, Freya, Kena, and now Dagger. So that's what I took in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I took in with me Steiner, Vivi. I think I took the OG team, like Steiner, Vivi, and Dagger.
I mean, some of us like to just make the game easy mode. That's no big deal. It's not just, nothing against you for it. No. But
Oh
so obviously head on in, and it's kind of an interesting place. I mean, it literally just looks like a castle. I mean, it does.
man.
It's essentially like that decor and everything, but you do kind of get a little throwback song here. It's the main
Yeah.
theme, but it's I don't know, it's a lot more polished in my opinion. I kind of like it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a tribal version. It's got flutes and stuff like that. And but what's really funny about this is, it's at the point in the game now where we're starting to see this common theme where all of the places that we've been that are sort of tied to Terra or places that are like have information about Terra have this theme, right? Like it was also like that in Eelvert. Had a variation of the main theme.
It's
So,
true.
just kind of an interesting point. It has a lot of really tough enemies, so we'll just kind of run through those guys real quick. So, right off the bat, you've got Cerberus, which is kind of like this four-legged
It's like a,
beast thing.
yeah, like a cat wolf thing. I mean,
Yeah, like
it's not what you think of the, typical Cerberus. It doesn't have three heads or anything like that. It's,
Right, yeah.
almost kind of looks like
It
almost like
is.
a slight different behemoth model.
Kind of does. This guy's pretty tough. He's got almost 7,000 HP. He uses
Yes.
that really annoying move, Flame, which so many enemies love to do. And the reason why it's so annoying is because it does random fire damage, which, as we all know, anything random is
Yeah.
bad.
So it does a
So,
lot of fire damage is what random
right.
means. Yes.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing. We've talked about these moves before, like Twister, where some party members will get like 200 damage and then others will get like 1500.
Yeah,
So.
crazy.
He has Strike and then Fire Aga, so
Well, and
those two aren't
so
that bad.
something interesting about Strike also. Now, I don't know if it's probably as a percentage based, but it will actually knock your player to the back row if it's on the front
Whoa,
row.
I had
So,
no
yeah, that
idea.
happened to me twice. He
Huh.
and so again, and he used it twice in a row and it did it both times. So I don't know if that's like 100% thing or if it's just a chance and I just got unlucky. But yeah, kind of an interesting thing because that kind of sucks, if
It
you don't have
does.
if you got a frontliner like Zidane where it's like, yeah, okay, I do need to move him back to the front here.
Yeah, it wasn't a critical or anything. It was just
Nope,
like,
just regular hits.
wow.
Yeah, crazy.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and we got another one. This is kind of strange. So you'll get in
Yeah.
the battle, and it's the same setup every single time. It's got a gargoyle and it's not moving, so it's kind of like in statue form. And then
Yeah.
I guess a Garry's or a
Some
Garrus.
weird, like, magician-looking
Yeah.
guy.
And he's in the back row, and he'll fight, he'll do whatever. He does use freeze, so you do want to have
Yeah.
oh, what is that ability?
Body temp.
There you go. You want to have body temp and then Thundar. I mean, the magic is okay, but at some point he will use a rise, make the gargoyle come to life. And
Yeah.
then it I don't it's not too much of an issue, but the gargoyle does like to do gradual petrify, and so they kind of just
Yeah.
hit you with some very annoying status effects that you just kind of have to, I guess, just protect against.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say, even though it's a second level spell, that Thundara is pretty dang powerful. I mean, it hits hard, like, especially on some of the other characters with lesser magic defense, like your heavy armor wearers and things like that. Anyways, we also have Veteran, which in this game is, I don't know why they decided to call him Veteran, but
Yeah,
it's
such
pretty
a strange
much just,
thing.
yeah, it's pretty much just the Arrowman from other Final Fantasy games. It's like the floating, flying
the,
like bat.
The bat winged eyeball, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly. This guy's not too bad. He uses Blaster, the same one that the Quirrells used to use. And
right.
So locomotion is good to have. I believe he uses Doom. And on that note, this is actually the first chance to get Doom if you have Keena in the party to eat.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the last one, so I did not get in that many random battles.
So rare,
I think I got into maybe four or five. And so this last one, I definitely didn't encounter. I didn't encounter the veteran either, actually. But Tomberries. So there's Tomberries here, and they'll be in threes. And now I can't speak too much about them. So, I mean, are they particularly challenging?
Not really. So I didn't encounter these guys either, and I had to kind of look this one up because this is kind of a rare battle. So just to preface this, the three that we talked about are Cerberus, Gargoyle, Agares, and Veteran. Those guys are found in the first several screens of the castle, basically, like the first sections. Once you get to like the central conflux area where it looks like you're in the middle of the castle, it's like this big wide open space.
Right.
That's where you encounter these guys. And yeah, they are really weird because they basically do what Tomberries do in all the other Final Fantasies that I know of, where they spend a lot of their time just kind of walking around
getting
and creeping
closer
forward. And then, of course, once they get real close to you, they're going to use Knife. And this, I think it's fixed damage because it doesn't seem to change. It does just straight up quad 9 damage. And then you're thinking, it's like, oh, you know, I need to escape from battle. But here's the funny thing. The very next turn after using Knife, they automatically basically flee.
They just run away, huh?
Yeah. So the weird thing about this is, since you have a four-party team, and they do a ton of damage, but they actually can't even get a game over because there's only ever three of them.
That's
and they
true.
Always escape. They never use Knife more than once. So
that is a really strange encounter. You at least can't game over to them, even though there might just be one person standing.
they also, a lot of these guys, and the Tomberries in particular, give a lot of EXP,
it's
definitely worth it.
Yes, definitely. If you're a little bit behind, like, I'm in kind of low to mid-30s still, and some of these, especially when I took Dagger, you know, she was 27. She leveled up, like, four times off the first battle, so.
Yeah, that's low level, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I never get in any battles. It's not my fault.
No,
I'm not going to sit here running circles trying to get in battles. Stupid game.
It's good because it's challenging.
It is, yeah. But, all right, well, there's plenty more to talk about, of course. We just barely got started here, but let's do our bold move before moving on. All right, bold moves. I'm going to start us off. Mine is in Final Fantasy VIII, and, you know, I was kind of thinking about this. Now, granted, there might be a lot more explanation. Maybe you'll be able to enlighten me on this, too. But I was thinking, you know, it was kind of a bold move for Fujin to kind of, like, put on a whole mute act the whole entire game. She's just sitting there saying, rage, flee, or, you know, whatever she says. She does it the whole... And then you get to the end, and she starts just... I don't know, just going on a monologue and talking and doing it. It's like, wait, you could talk this whole time? Why have you been doing this? Like, kind of a bold move, man.
No, for real, that's a really good point. I was actually even thinking of Final Fantasy VIII for a bold move, and that's one that we haven't even talked about. But yeah, you're right. Such a strange character, you know? You kind of think, like, what would it be like if they tried to do a remake? How would Fujin be? It's just weird, because she says, like you say, one word in all caps, so it's like, rage, silence,
you know,
it's
like
stuff.
Okay, and then you get to the end, she's just talking in full sentences. It's like, all right, bold move for making us think that you just couldn't talk this whole time. Awesome.
Yep. All right, so for mine, taking it even further back than that to Final Fantasy VII. So I was thinking, you know, it was a bold move for Cloud to take on that snowboarding minigame. I know they had to. I know it was part of the story, but man, the number of times I crashed on that, I dang near killed him. Like, he was freaking on his back most of the time.
He was just sliding down, man. He was a soldier. He could take it. But yeah,
that minigame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, think of anyone, and if you have ever been snowboarding or skiing or whatever, that very first time, imagine that, and then just go down the Black Diamond circuit that first time, and it's like, yeah, no big deal. I can do it. It's like, no, dude, you're gonna kill yourself, man.
Yeah, there's that whole section too with the trees, man. I was hitting like every other tree, and you know, Cloud's just getting killed out there.
Oh, Cloud.
It's a bold move, Cloud.
It was. All right, well, those are our bold moves for this episode, and let's continue back in Final Fantasy IX. All right, man, so we have quite an interesting little quirk about this place, right? So,
yeah.
And kind of on that note, we were just talking about kind of the more Terra-themed areas. They all kind of seem to have a quirk, you know, whether it's an anti-magic field or whatever. So this one, I don't think I ever thought of this until I saw your notes before I played this morning, man. I'm not even kidding. I don't think I ever picked this up. It's crazy. I never even thought about it, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did either, like, especially when I was a kid back in the day playing this game. I probably just used Phoebe's magic to get through this and all that stuff. And I've seen other players, like, you definitely can get through this area like that.
Yeah.
But there are some clues to the quirk about this place. So the first thing is that it's this kind of, like, upside-down castle.
Right, backwards.
The second thing is, and you get a treasure right off the bat, off to the left, that's a dagger. And so you're like, that's the very first...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, cool, thanks.
Yeah, and so you're like, why, you know, why, other than if I didn't get it the first time or something, you know, why would I need that? So that's another clue. But then I noticed this time around when I was playing, if you go to the end of the first hallway, like right at the entrance scene, there's a note or something that pretty much says... Don't rely on your knowledge here. Everything is backwards. Good is bad, powerful is weak, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it kind of alludes to that. But basically, the idea here is that the stronger your weapon is, the less attack damage it actually does.
Yes.
You'll probably get in here and you'll be wondering, you'll either think that they have, like, super high defense, because if you have, like, say, I don't know, what was the recent Sargantanis equipped on Zane? He'll be doing like 200 damage. And these guys have 7,000 HP. It's going to take
exactly.
I looked it up. I thought this was really interesting. The damage formulas in this game are really cool. And it makes sense because it turns out that only in this place, the damage formula for your weapons are 60 minus the weapon's attack power minus the defense of the enemy. So by that, you can kind of tell that the higher the attack power, the more it's going to take away from 60, and then it's going to be weaker, essentially. So, really weird.
Kind of an interesting thing. Yeah, and so obviously, if you still have them, which you probably should, slap on all those weapons. The beginning weapons, that is, to maximize damage. Especially, obviously, with just the physical damage dealers. You know, I mean, if you're using rods and staves, magic, I mean, that really doesn't matter unless you're whacking them with it, which won't do much anyways.
Well... Yeah, and I did the air racket with dagger. I don't think it made a big difference. She still wasn't doing much.
Yeah, and I will say with this, a very interesting thing, I had to really trial and test, and I figured it out. Because I took Freya in, right? And I put on Javelin, and her jumps were doing like 50, man. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? Her attacks from the back row would do like a couple of hundred, you know? But her jump was always doing 50 and really, really low. And I was like... What's going on? I put on the best, like, what, the dragon, you know, whatever the best weapon is. It went up to 3,000 jumps. And so clearly jump doesn't follow that formula. And so jump bypasses it. And so if you want to use Freya, don't use Javelin. Go ahead and keep your best weapon on and just jump the whole time. Because, I mean, otherwise... You know, I can move her to the front row and Javelin. She was hitting like, I don't know, 600-700. But I mean, come on, 3,000 jumps if you got the best weapon, so.
Yeah. And that is kind of a good point that you bring up, because I'll have to, at some point, look up the damage formula for jump, because it doesn't seem to be...
So I did! And it's great. All it is it just does an extra one... It does 150% damage, 200% if you have high jump. That's it. Like, it's not a whole different formula or anything like that. It's just, it just does extra damage. So it's really weird. Like, I don't know, maybe they forgot to apply it to jump or something in the code. I don't understand.
I don't know. We'll talk about this later too, because I, you know, me and Mark were talking a little bit ago, and I was mentioning I was using Might a lot with Aiko. I didn't notice Might increase jump damage, so I'm not even sure that it's strength-based. Or it might be
weapon-based.
It's definitely
weapon-based. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point that it didn't even change it.
Yeah. But all right, so getting a move on here with this area. So right off the bat, Alex already mentioned we got a dagger to the left. On the right side behind those pillars, you will get your next Stelazio. It's Aquarius, so there you go. We get that yep. next one. And pretty much all you can do at this point is you just got to go through the doorway on the right, kind of up the stairs. And you will see Kamul the Mughal. So here we go. You got that letter. Deliver it from Maki. You do not get anything new, so it's that. And in the letter, they just are going on about Mognet still. It's like just that's like the talk Mognet. Of the town, man.
Yeah, it's like this reoccurring theme. It just keeps going on. Yeah, Mognet shut down. Where the heck is Mognet, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, but one cool thing, this Mog actually has a Mog shop, and a nice thing about it is, they have all of the weakest weapons. So you can buy, like, dagger, mage masher. Yeah. So if you didn't happen to sell those or lose those or whatever, you can buy all of them. And again, just another clue that, like, you know, it's all kind of hinting towards this is a place where those do a lot of damage, but it is kind of counterintuitive to go back and equip your weakest weapons. So,
yeah. And in that same room, if you just pretty much just head to the northmost of that whole kind of courtyard area, there's a chest, has cat claws in it, which is, you know, whatever, kind of cool. You can't you don't even have Amarin right now, but, you know, maybe later you will if you want to return. And we just kind of want to keep going. So there's like a pole. You got to go down the pole. And we just want to get kind of up to the upper left area. So there's like a ladder in that room. I mean, again, you really start to see things are starting to be upside down, kind of, you know. And it's so there's a ladder climbing up it, you know, head to the left. There's another doorway. Here's where things could get slightly confusing because there's ladders all over the place. You can move up and down on them. You can get off to the right or left or whatever. So essentially, you are not going to miss anything good. It's all going to be those just starter weapons and stuff. But if you just want to snag them, that very first ladder that, you know, obviously you go through the door, it just puts you on it. If you head up and then hop off to the left, there's a javelin down that side.
Mm-hmm.
If you get right back on and then hop off to the right, there's a broadsword, and that's kind of it. Go all the way down on that one.
Yeah, and just to add real quick too, this place never becomes closed off at any point in the game. So you can always come back here if you did miss something, if for whatever reason you wanted to come back and get that. So yeah, there's nothing special and you're really not going to miss anything. After that, you get down to the bottom. I think there's like a little walkway, right?
Yeah, and you kind of just head to the right and it's like the opposite, essentially.
Go up some stairs, get to a ladder. Then you climb up a bit. I don't know if this one's an option. Anyways, you jump off to the right. There's a treasure chest. You get a rod. Return to the ladder, pretty much. You climb up all the way and then you get up to this door.
Yeah. I mean, that side's much easier and linear because it's like either you can just hop off to the right or you can just climb up top. And then, you know, there's ladders on either side of that little kind of area. Go through the door, and I mean, the place is actually really small, and so it's like impossible to get lost here. And this room, you kind of come in from the north, and there's like an elevator. Skip the elevator for now, because something you might want to check out is the door of many options, is what I'm calling it, on the right side. Yeah. One of the best doors in the whole entire game.
Yeah, this is so funny. It's like this whole sequence of options that you get, so right when you go up to it, he's pretty much like, this is just a really weird looking wall. There's got to be something up with this.
Yes.
And so you have like a little text box come up, you examine it. And then right after that, you get another option. It's push. And then after that, you can like pound on the wall to see about, you know, to try and open it.
Why wouldn't you?
And yeah, right. This is all totally logical. Then he thinks about it.
Well, he does, and then he's just like shakes his head, nope, got nothing.
Yep. But this is where it gets really funny, because after that, I think you can just choose any of the options. So you can do the push, you can do the pound again, whatever. Then you'll have another option come up, and this one is probably one of the best in the whole game. Try something drastic.
Heck yeah. He's like, all right, stretch a little bit to the side, to that. He does like some flying, spinning crane karate kick thing.
For real. Yeah, he does his
no big deal.
His kick.
Guys, go do that to a brick wall. Everyone go try that right now. You're not going to hurt yourself. Trust me. I saw Zidane do it. It works.
Yeah, he just stops in midair while kicking the wall. You know, he doesn't fall over,
break his ankle,
or anything like that, right? Yeah. So, after you've done that, now you get the final option, which is rest. And wouldn't you know it, this is the one that actually works.
Yeah, what is he like, leans against the door, rest, and then boom, it just opens.
Yeah, it's like that classic scenario with the secret passage.
Yeah, fall through it. Things.
Right, he falls through backwards. But, you know, it's kind of a funny little scene. And then once you get through there, you're kind of up on this balcony.
Yeah,
right at the
entrance
area.
Yeah.
Right at the entrance, you're up on the balcony. So you can just go and grab a barrette there. Not a super exciting add-on.
No. No, and so that's kind of it. It was just the fun was the door. That was
it
the good
really
part.
Was. Yeah.
And so head back into that room, and then you just go down the elevator, essentially. Here we go. So you're kind of in the room. You can see, I mean, there's like, what, it's like veins almost on the ground, you know? It's like they're... Mm-hmm. And so
it's like fluorescent green. Or
yeah,
something like
yeah. There
that.
You go. That's just a better way of describing it. And lo and behold, there's Amarant. He made it there. You know, and he's just being all bossy, like, "Oh yeah,
he's
see,
like,
I told you." Yeah. And then he's like, "But the funny thing is he can't figure out he can't figure it out, right? He can't read the stuff. And so he's like, I'll leave you to figure this out. Kind of like, oh, I can't figure it out, but I'm not going to lead that on. I'm just going to say I beat you, huh? It was just a race. It's like, well, that was kind of half of the point here, man. Well, actually, not even. Like the point was to get the mirrors, and you couldn't do that.
He literally didn't do anything. He just got there faster, which, by the way, how the heck is he going to even survive these battles? But anyways, I guess he just ran from all of them or something like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, pretty much after this, you go up to this wall, where you see all of like the iridescent green lines emanating from, and you can go up there and you just basically examine it, and there's all these mirrors, and they each have a little saying like, my power is hidden underneath the water, my power is hidden behind a tornado, da da da.
Yeah.
So once you get those and you try to leave, we're about to get into a boss battle here. So
yep, it's with C Trivia is what it's with. And so that is what we're going to now before we get to the boss battle. So let's do it. All right, here we go. Alex unfortunately failed his rank 28 quiz last time, but let's see if he can get it this time. I don't think he's failed that many times in a row. So let's put that to the test. Starting out, man, we're going to go to Final Fantasy VII. And, I mean, you'll know what I'm talking about exactly as I go through it, so I'm not going to explain it. But the last threat to Don Corneo is, I'll smash it.
Nope. False.
All right, Final Fantasy XII. The Guild Toss Technic does damage at a 1 to 10 ratio, meaning 1 guild to 10 damage.
Oh, I had to. I love how you had to use it because it's like the techniques, the damages. I don't know those formulas. man, I would think it's. I'm not actually sure. I'm going to say true on that. I'm not sure.
All right, Final Fantasy X-2, one you probably will know. To advance to Publicity Level 5, you need 400 points.
True.
Final Fantasy X. You can return to Kilika and Besaid after visiting Guado Salami for the first time.
Ooh. True.
Final Fantasy VIII. There are 15 Timber Maniac magazines.
I think that's too many. False.
Final Fantasy XIII. The Behemoth King is the most powerful model type for the behemoths.
Including, like, the hunts, or not the hunts, but the Seathstone quests.
I'd just say just because I didn't look that up, so I don't. Standard.
True.
All right, last one, man, and you're gonna have to kind of use your imagination for this. It's a little bit of a cross world situation, but I think you'll appreciate it. So, Final Fantasy IX, and I'm gonna try to sound this out the best so you can fully understand it. If Zidane played Blitzball in 10, he would be the star player of the Zanarkand Babes.
False.
Alright, let's recap this. Final Fantasy VII! So the last threat to Don Corneo is I'll smash it. You said false. That is true.
What?
The first one is I'll chop it off. I'll rip it off, and then it's I'll smash it.
God, man. I thought I had that one.
Final Fantasy XII. The guild toss technique does damage at a 1 to 10 ratio. You said true. It is false.
Yeah,
it's a 1 to 1 ratio, which is why that one is so terrible.
Okay, it's just literally 1 to 1.
1 to 1, yeah. Final Fantasy X-2, to advance to Publicity Level 5, you need 400 points. You said true, and that is true.
Yeah. I gotta get the X2
one. Dude, I mean, I did that one time. We'll never do it again. Yeah. Final Fantasy X, so you can return to Kilika Bisei, basically backtrack all the way after visiting Guadalupe Salamis for the first time. You said true, and it is true.
Yeah,
and
I've done that.
You know, especially now, you can do it as early. Probably, if you were gonna do such a thing, you might want to at least wait till after, you know, Makalania would, so that way you can at least get the you know, jet spheres, whatever afterwards. But that's especially for the remaster, man. If you want, like, Volucha for Blitzball, you pretty much have to. I mean, because otherwise you gotta fight Dark Valifor just to get her at the end, and good luck doing that anytime soon.
Yeah. And then the only other reason I can think of is to get, like, steals, like, fish scale, all those kinds of things.
Yep. Let's see. The next one was Final Fantasy VIII. There are 15 Timber Maniac magazines. You said false too many, and that is correct. It is false. There are only 12 of them.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so. I was like, 15's a lot, man.
Final Fantasy XIII, the Behemoth King is the most powerful model type of the Behemoths. You said true. It's actually false. There is the Humbaba.
Oh.
That thing is, let's see, put it in perspective. I looked it up.
Oh, yeah. Cause
Behemoth King has like 400,000 health. Humbaba has 1.2 million.
Yeah, that's right, because I think Humbaba you encounter in Eden.
That's what it is.
Not like a speak stone thing. Okay.
All right, it's down to his last question, man. If you pass or fail, if Zidane played Blitzball in 10, he would be the star player of the Xanarkin Babes.
I don't know.
You said false. And because of the nature of the question, you honestly couldn't get this wrong. But I say true, man. His team would be the Xanarkin Babes. It wouldn't be the Xanarkin Abes. It'd be the Babes. He'd be like, hey, Babes. We think that Titus was a playboy at the very beginning. He's blocked at the front row. Zidane would be like, hey, girls, why don't you come out and play with me? You can be on my babe team.
Hey, he's popular with all the ladies.
Ladies in Xanarkin. No.
That's
well, good. We're gonna just nullify that one because it was just a fun question for the heck of it.
Sure.
You passed, man, so you got your rank 28. Ooh. You're getting up there. Yeah, I'm very surprised I can keep thinking of all these different questions. There's just so much lore and stuff in Final Fantasies, man. It's crazy.
Oh, for real.
But all right, well, Alex got this one, and we are going to go ahead and finish up Ispin's Castle. All right, so obviously, as we just alluded to before Siege Trivia, we are in a boss battle. This dude, I don't know how you'd describe him. He's like kind of a bug thing looking with claws. And
kind of looks like a cicada or something like that. I don't know if you guys listening know what that is, but, you know.
Big old
like,
bug.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a bug pretty much with claws.
But how about the way he comes in, man? He like full on like materializes. He's like a little skinny thin line, and then like, and he's like there. And it's like, oh, hey, hello.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, because all of the guys we're starting to fight here are sort of like interdimensional beings or something almost like that. They don't even normally exist on Gaia, I guess, only in this way. And he materializes and he's talking about like, you know, give me back those mirrors.
Good. Something about like there's power, or, you know, it's something like that.
Yeah.
We'll also get to kind of more of the things he says here in a little bit, but essentially right off the bat, let's do some steals. 100% is elixir. I mean, why isn't it elixir? It's like they just give you elixirs in this game, right and left. They are not a very. So many. It's like in a lot of the other Final Fantasies, man, those are rare, and you hold on to them till those like extreme dire moments. And Nine's like, exactly. Go ahead and use them all the time because you're just gonna be getting them all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how. Like in my game, I ended up with like over 40 somehow. Yeah. I think it was because of all the chocographs or something, but.
Yep.
Yeah, so elixir's 100%. The steals aren't that great on this guy. 25% is mithril claws. And if you can, this is an amazing steal, I will say. 6.25% for the Orichalcon, which are the next dagger, right? Tier. Yeah, pretty much the best dagger and the next level up, like next level weapon for Zidane. And these, not only are they super powerful, I think they have like 71 attack power, but they're also really expensive when you finally do get to buy them, so it's always a good thing to steal.
Yeah, and I didn't have to steal that many times. I did get them. It's 6.25%, which sounds really low, but at the same time, if you have Master Thief on, you know, and all the stuff we talked about, it's, I don't think it'll be that bad. It's not like the 0.39% ones.
No, and I did the same thing you did. I had Bandit and Master Thief, and if you have those two, that's pretty much the best chance you can get.
Yeah, and so this guy, honestly, it's kind of hard for me to know too much because, you know, I did all the Chocobo stuff, so I have I got all the best gear on for the most part, you know, I mean, almost some of the absolute best stuff, you know, Dagger with Circlet, for instance. And so he does use Blizzaga, but on that note, the most he was doing to any of the characters was like 250, you know, so all that gear kind of helps out. It also just might not do a whole lot, but Chop and Ram are kind of like his physical attacks, and those can sometimes surprise you a little bit. I mean, they can bust out like, you know, 800 damage ones, at least on some of my characters, which that was like at least half. On Dagger, it'd be like, you know, almost killing her. So, kind of that, but I don't know, man. I honestly didn't really have any issue with this whatsoever.
No, and typically, I think a lot of players at this stage won't have too much problem. I mean, you know, because even if you don't do the Chocographs, the Chocobo Hot and Cold side quests and all that, I just had the Black Robe with Vivi. Basically, all I did for this was I think I focused two times and Flare was doing like 6,000 damage.
Yeah.
So I was just pretty much every time he went into his curl mode, he likes to curl up and then physical attacks basically don't do anything.
Right.
Every time he did that, I would just sit there and focus and just
blast him away.
Pretty much, dude. Flare is just incredibly powerful. So, not a super difficult boss. Although, he does have a lot of HP.
He does. So, it takes a while. Another thing that is pretty cool about this whole area also that I kind of forgot to mention because I got Kena is Frog Drop. You know, it doesn't really... It's not affected by any of this stuff. And, you know, I think I'm around like 42, 43 frogs. So, it wasn't doing a whole lot. It was doing about 1,300 damage. But that's about what Zidane was doing with his regular dagger attacks, you know what I mean? And, you know, I put regular fork on her, but, you know, that's obviously just so unreliable. And so I was frog dropping and, you know, it went pretty fast. That's not when I figured out the whole jump thing, though. So, you know, Freya was very useless that whole entire battle. But essentially, once you win that battle, be pretty easy. You just need to go ahead and head all the way back up to where Kumul was with that pole area. And you get this little scene. It's going to depend on what characters you have, but essentially, someone will step on like this trap. This tile in the floor just opens up and it gets a hole. It was funny. It was Kena for me. So I said, "I surprised, I scared," or it was like something like that. It was hysterical.
I've never had that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Because there's an order. There's like a hierarchy. So if you have Vivi in your party, it'll be Vivi.
Yes.
Even if you have Kena, but I think it goes like Iko, Kena, and then something like that. But that's really funny because I almost never get that at Vivi, and then his what he says isn't nearly as funny as Kena, like I'm surprised.
I think I got a screenshot of it. It was pretty hysterical because I don't think I ever saw that one either, you know. And so, but you'll then be able to see them. I think there's like three in total. You'll be able to see them on the map. You do want to fall down one. You want to fall down on the northmost one. And it's kind of close to that treasure chest we opened up. And that's just so you can get down on kind of, I guess it's like a chandelier, right, in the previous screen.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's just, there's a maiden's prayer there. You know, it's nothing fantastic, but it's, you know, if we just kind of want to clear out all the chests, you know, there you go.
Right. Yeah, so once you get that, you just jump off that chandelier, you go back to the main hall. And then at this point, something's changed that wasn't there in the beginning.
Right.
That original, like, wall area right up, it's kind of like under these pillars.
Right.
It's opened up now to reveal a staircase.
The main staircase that will be very visible, that's the one that just led up to that door we had issues with.
Yeah.
And then the other one is kind of like, it's hidden by like pillar. Basically, if you just are, if you're near that door, just head left. It's like the middle. You want to go down and through the middle is what it is. And that's kind of that new area that's opened up for us.
Yeah, so pretty much then you follow this path to get these two treasures where basically in the room where Kamul is, but you're sort of up on this like upper layer in that room.
Yeah.
You could kind of see previously. Anyway, so you get those.
Well, yeah, so you kind of go, and it's like if you climb up that pole in the Kamul's room, I don't think he initially jumps off. I don't know, but regardless, when you see it, you can see the two treasures up top of a very top
that's
chandelier.
Right.
And so if you go back into the room and then climb up, you can now get them. It's fantastic stuff, a mage staff and a fork. So, you know, that's great things to
have. That's a really good point because I was thinking that same thing. Once you first get in that room with Kamul, you go all the way up the pole pretty much. And you can only go up so far. But once you get up to that second tier and you can actually see the chandelier, then it sort of unlocks the ability to go all the way up the pole, and then pretty much you can jump off on the...
Yeah.
I didn't actually realize
that. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing, but yeah, so make sure, you know, or you just don't care because it's mage staff and fork, in which I'd completely understand, but go back to that same kind of balcony path. It's like a little bit of back and forth here, and you just want to go through it now. And so, you know, it'll kind of be like another elevator room. There's going to be an air racket on the left if you want to go get it. Regardless, though, you do want to go down that elevator.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In that
and
room,
so,
you can get a nice golem's flute. Oh, man, we're getting decked out here in this area.
Yeah, these awesome first-time equipments right here.
Heck yeah.
But, yeah, then you have, like, this weird kind of setup where it's like a... almost like an altar room, and then there's a sword with sort of like this energy flowing through it, But you have like three little pedestals, and you've got this, well, you've got two different sort of like vases, I guess, sitting on those pedestals. And this is sort of a little bit of a puzzle here. So what you have to do is you almost kind of have to rotate them, right? I think you take that right one, you move it onto the next left pedestal. Then you take that one on the furthest left, you rotate that over to where you would just remove the other. I think you just do one more move, right? You go...
Yeah, I don't know how many moves it actually... But essentially, you just want to go in a rotating...
It's counterclockwise.
Rotating counterclockwise. And it will actually give you a hint. If you don't know what you're doing and you just place them randomly, eventually the kind of screen will kind of gray out and there'll be some words. It'll be like, you know... something you want to reverse time, or it's something like that to give you an idea like, you need to go counterclockwise is what it is. And so
that's right.
You do that enough times wherever. And yeah, like the lightning mist or whatever goes into a pot.
Weird, yeah.
And
yeah, it goes into that vase, and then that vase itself, you just,
pick up,
inspect it again. And you get an ancient aroma. And this is a really, really awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's a stinky ancient aroma. Yeah, like, hold on. Before we talk about the ability, let's acknowledge the fact that as an accessory, you can equip ancient aroma. Like, Aiko, you're smelling, or well, I guess it'd be Dagger, you're smelling quite ripe today. Is that an ancient aroma I detect on you? Ooh.
How is it even a tangible thing? What is it, like perfume or something?
Dude,
I mean, that's what's funny. Just by the name of it,
put in some frankincense and myrrh into the pot, I guess, is what it was.
For real. Yeah, apparently it's like incense or something.
Yeah, who knows?
But the cool thing about this is it teaches Dagger, and only Dagger, the Odin Sword ability.
Yes.
And what this does is, as you guys probably know, if you use Odin, it's going to do the instant death attack, but it doesn't work on enemies that are immune to death. So Odin's sword just makes it so that even if it doesn't inflict death, it does damage.
Yeah, Pretty cool. Alters it, you know. I mean, it gives you a little more use for Odin if you so choose. And that's kind of it. So the only thing left to do now is just go all the way back out. And so you do go all the way back out down the stairs, and whatever party members you left there, like, oh, hey, Zidane's the winner, you know, because the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you talking about? You know, like, Amarant was there and left. And so
yeah.
where's that crybaby Amarant? Where is he? You know, this little whiny guy who's master of racing and stuff is, you know, he's not here. And so Zidane says he will go back out and find it. Now, I did not want to test this because I was scared. You can still get in battles, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't either. I think, so I'm playing on the PS4, and I just put the no encounters thing on
cheated,
because I don't want...
Yep. Cheater, pumpkin eater, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get in encounters with just Zidane.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. So you do have just Zidane, and so I would imagine you could still get into encounters. I don't want to, you know, I think of back to the Aoife tree when you had Zidane and Kena down that sand pit. They still gave you encounters, so... Be careful, very careful, because yes, those battles will be seriously dangerous with just Zidane. And so, regards, you just need to go back to Kamul's room, go down the pole, and it just basically starts the scene where, you know, you hear, you know, and then Zidane's like, oh, hello, you know, and he's like, oh, why are you here? Like, it's just, I hate Amarant. I'll be honest, as a character, it's great. As an actual character in the story, he's terrible. He's such a whiny little punk, man. He really is.
He's still stuck on this whole, like, you know, the victor should be alive, and then he should be dead because he lost. And he's doing that same thing right now where he's like, why'd you come back from me? Why do you care? Da, 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 da. It's like, you know, you should have just left me to die and stuff. And
yeah.
It's just, it is kind of a pity
party. Yeah, we should have, man. We should have. But
yeah.
They hash it out once again. Hopefully that's the last of it we hear of his whininess, but probably not. So at that point, it goes to the airship. They're like, you know, we gotta figure out what do we do. And Zidane kind of alludes to something that boss said, which was what, the Tarhaka, which he said, one is all and all is one. And so he's like, so obviously these seals are linked. They, you know, were, I think maybe Dagger was like, oh, so should we go take one at a time? And he's like, nope, we're going to take them all at once, doing two party members each. And that's when Aiko was like, yo, I'm going to be with Dagger. And Zidane asked why. And she's like, ladies first, Zidane. And it's like,
It's so dumb, though, because it's the worst team ever.
Dude, I know, it's like, please, no, healers. Not you two, come on.
What are they gonna do, just summon
non-stop?
That's literally what you'd have to do. I mean, think about taking on a boss with just those two. It'd be summon, like,
man. But that is where, and then one of the, it's funny, one of like the kind of sailors, quote unquote, right, of the airship, he's like, oh, I know what's up. And then someone's like, who are you, guy? You know, it's like, you've been listening this whole time? And it's like, well, dude, come on, Zidane. He's literally standing 5 feet. Do you think he's just going to plug his ears? I mean, of course he's listening. But he mentions about, like, the C1 first underwater. So he mentioned that. He kind of warned everyone, like, you might want to get ready and all that. And Zidane's like, you know, hey, stop. You're reminding me of someone I know. And then Steiner had the little question mark, like, huh? Like, you talking about me?
Yeah,
we're talking about you, Rusty. Yeah, we're talking about you.
Yeah, that was a good line.
But before we go any further, we are gonna end it there because, oh man, coming up, we're getting some fun stuff here. That is for sure.
Yeah, it's the end of the game now.
Well, I was gonna say, and we're fastly approaching the end of the game. So on that, you know, we thank you all for listening, for hanging out with us, spending time supporting the podcast. We really do appreciate it. Of course, you know, as we just alluded to, it's getting towards the end. We are going to Final Fantasy X next. That will be the next Final Fantasy we head to. Probably not too much longer now. And we hopefully have some other kind of cool little fun side things in the mix too for you. Well, we're not going to reveal too much as we just have time to, well, we need time to hash them out and figure things out. But just kind of, you know, maybe on the lookout for that. Of course, you can stop off at our Instagram, Final Stop Final Fantasy Talks. We just post the media of everything we talked about. Wasn't a whole lot for this one, but, you know, we'll give it our best shot to give you some one-liners, I guess.
Yeah.
And also our website, finalstopforfinalfantasytalks.com, just has more info there, the blog posts, all that kind of stuff. All right, that'll do it for this time. We'll see you all next time. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.